Well, you're stuck with me, Matt Scraby here, 97.3 The Fan, at least until Tony gets back next week, and Chris will be back in studio with me tomorrow and Friday, so you're only stuck with me for another couple hours, and then we will get back to a little bit of normalcy, and that's what the Padres are doing today. They're getting back to a little bit of normalcy. Spring training opened up today. Sammy Lev out there in Peoria doing all he can to bring us the sights and sounds of Peoria. Make sure you check out his social medias at Sammy Lev. Also, you can check out at 97.3 The Fan SD, because there is a ton of clips up there from Mike Schilt. There's different drills people are doing, and pictures of the guys and all that. So if you want to get excited about the baseball season, go to our social media channels and look at all those things. We're going to get into Mike Schilt, and he was asked about who's going to be the starting catcher, or the primary catcher this season. And I think we all know what he's going to say, but we will still play that for you anyway, because that's one of the big positions this year. How are you going to replace Kyle Higashioka? And I loved Kyle Higashioka. I mean, obviously, he outperformed anything we thought he was going to do. And are we going to be able to replace the production of Kyle Higashioka? I'm not sure. It's going to be tough, but I don't know that Kyle Higashioka is going to follow up last season with a similar type season. So I'm happy for him. He's with the Texas Rangers. He's making some money, but I don't know that he would have done what he did last year. Doesn't change that what he did last year. He was great for the Padres. They absolutely needed him many, many times last year. And throughout the stretch run of the season, he was there every single time. So I'm not trashing Higashioka the player. I'm just kind of concerned that someone else is, that he's going to follow it up with a similar type year. Kind of like Jerickson Profar. So we'll hear from Mike Schilt here in just a second. But if you didn't hear Sports Court, we usually do it at 3:40. You can go back on the YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan, look at the live shows. And you can go back into like 3:40 area. And we had a topic in Sports Court, and I want to go back to get the language of the topic. But basically, someone said they were watching the Olympics with their roommate one night. They were talking about breakdancing, how it's ridiculous that it's an Olympic sport. But then the roommate said, how can breakdancing be a sport but fishing isn't? And the friend said, fishing isn't a sport isn't in the Olympics because it's a hobby and not a sport. Well, I have angered all the fishing people out there, and I didn't even really think I said anything bad about the fishing people out there. I think that the fishing people are misunderstanding me. I never said don't fish, or fishing is dumb, or fishing's boring, anything like that. Maybe I said fishing is boring. I think Chris may have said that, actually. But I never said that fishing was a bad thing for you to do. I know there's plenty of people that fish around here. It's okay. I'm not attacking fishing like everybody attacks golf all the time. You don't see me freaking out when people tell me that golf isn't a sport. It's just a hobby. But I don't think it's a bad thing if you say fishing's not a sport. I don't even know. I don't think we should go into this right now, but I guess I am. What is the definition of a sport? An activity involving physical exertion and skill in which an individual or team competes against another or others for entertainment. So if you take that definition, fishing's a sport because there's competitions for fishing. Golf also is a sport then too. If fishing is a sport because of physical, you know, if there's a tournament involved. Yeah. All right. I'll move on now, because anything I say is probably just going to make everybody else, all the fishing people, angry again. So I'm not going to say anything more about the fishing. What I will say is that Mike Schilt is going to be on our airwaves a lot the next 6 weeks, because he speaks to the media basically every single day of spring training. Sammy Lev is there every single day. So Mike Schilt was asked by the media, who is the starting or primary catcher for the Padres in 2025?
Well, I mean, listen, you know, we've got good catching competition. And that's healthy. We got competition in this camp, which I love. You know, he's mentioned the starting rotation. There's competition there. There's competition with the catchers. I mean, clearly we, you know, have signed Diaz to play, and rightfully so. All-Star 2 years ago, All-Star MVP, came up last year, helped us, contributed. So, you know, he's going to be a part of the mix. But, you know, you look at Campy, and Campy was, you know, similar to Matt Waldron. You know, you look at the numbers with Campy on, you can evaluate catchers a lot of different ways, clearly. But, you know, one of the ways that we evaluate a lot of what we do is if we win or not. And if you look at Campy's record, when we in his one-loss record, it's pretty darn good. And there's a lot of factors to that, clearly. But point being is, Campy had a good year for us. And at the end of the year, we get Diaz in. But we look back at the body of work, and it was productive for Campy. So we expect him to, like I mentioned in Fan Fest, had a good offseason, went to winter ball, Dominican, and played. And it's in a good spot to come in and compete for playing time like he got last year. And then you're talking about, you know, Brett Sullivan came up, helped us out. Been a guy in the organization up and down for the last couple of years that has done a nice job for us. Again, went to winter ball and work on his game. So Sully's guy that's in that mix, and we just signed a guy that's won two World Series with Maldonado. That's really hungry still after 13 years at this level. So it's going to be a really healthy competition, and we're excited about it.
Mike Schilt gives us explanations. He does. He gives us more than previous managers have given us, but I never expected him to say anything other than that during it, which is propping up his players and saying there's going to be a competition. I think we all know that Luis Campusano, unless he is just completely awful in spring training, I think we know he's going to be one of the guys. And I think we probably know also that Elias Diaz is going to be the other guy. And you're not really paying them all that much money, but you don't give money to guys that you're not planning on using at the major league level. And I was actually reading something last night. I can't remember who wrote it. It may have been Dennis Lynn, but he was writing about Brett Sullivan and how, you know, Brett Sullivan has logged defensive innings elsewhere in the field. It's not like he's catcher only. I believe he's played some first base, and he's played some corner outfield. I've liked what I've seen from Brett Sullivan over the years. I'm not saying that he's a definite to make the roster, but I wouldn't mind seeing Brett Sullivan get a chance. He's been up and down the last, I don't know, two or three seasons for the Padres. But we all know that the competition is most likely between Elias. Is it Elias or Elias? I'm going to say Elias. Elias Diaz and Luis Campusano. Luis Campusano, this is, I would assume, this is probably his last kind of, I don't want to say chance, because there's plenty of chances that are going to happen throughout the year, but I would think that this is the last offseason that the Padres are thinking about Luis Campusano in the way of, hey, he's one of our two catchers on the roster. If he has a great year, that all changes. But if he has a year that's similar to what we've seen the last couple, I think that the Padres may move on from Luis Campusano. So it's a big year for him, for the Padres. It's a big year for everyone involved, because Luis Campusano has received a lot of resources from the Padres organization. And I'm not saying that they mishandled those resources. I'm just saying that maybe Luis Campusano hasn't lived up to what the Padres think he can be. And this year is a perfect proving year for Luis Campusano. We could be sitting here in June or July and laughing about how worried we were about catcher in February and March, or January and February. So that's what Mike Schilt had to say about the catching position. Again, Sammy Lev's going to be on at 7 p.m. tonight, bringing you everything from spring training. I will be doing a Scraby show from 6 to 7. We have the Beaver Nuggets. If you don't know about that, tune in around 6 o'clock. We'll talk about it. But when we get back, more from Padres spring training. We also have Padres Pen Pals at the end of the hour. And Padres Pen Pals, they have some pretty, you know, two of the people came after me. Two of them came after me directly. So Padres Pen Pals has me responding to some people. Also, in about 20 minutes or so, we are going to call the name for the biggest fan, for today's biggest fan. So make sure you're here. You have 10 minutes to call if we call your name. So you'll get the information when I announce it. You'll get the name when I announce it around 20 minutes from now. Back shortly with more Gwynn and Chris, more Padres on 97.3 The Fan. I don't know why I do it, but for some reason, I dance in my little chair when we come back to these breaks. It's usually the same thing, me just moving my shoulders up and down. I've talked about this before. I'm a terrible dancer. I hate dancing. I'm not a big dancer. At weddings, I go hide in the corner because I don't want to dance. And so everybody can see on the chat or on the YouTube video when I dance how bad I am at dancing. But I don't know why I do it. I just feel the need to. You can watch us on YouTube. If you search 97.3 The Fan, you can watch us on YouTube. For some reason, the audio keeps getting muted to YouTube. No idea why it keeps happening. Ugh. Technology today has not been my friend. Has not been my friend. And then I took my dog Lucky on a walk earlier today, and it was raining. I've been preparing for this. He loves the rain. He loves splashing in puddles. And he also just loves being a fish dog, a dogfish. And today was no different. He found every puddle on the walk and he splashed in every puddle. And I was a good dog dad. And I said in my head, just let him do it. He's going to have fun. He's going to tire himself out. I don't have any kids, by the way, so that's why I'm talking about my dog like you. It's my child. But he did jump around in the puddles. He did do. He got very, very wet. I did not let him in the mud today because I've let him in the mud before, and it's a disaster. I don't have time to clean up. I don't have time to clean up the muddy Lucky. That's all I got to say about that. Matt Waldron. We've been talking about him. We talked about him earlier in the show. I talked about him a little bit ago. Sammy Lev talked to him this morning, and Matt Waldron was kind of asked for, let's see, what was the exact thing? Matt Waldron on learning from last season, competing for a starting rotation spot, and his approach to the knuckleball this season. Here is Matt Waldron with Sammy Lev.
Obviously, last year you came into spring training knowing that there was an open spot in the rotation. It was that competition from the outset.
Yeah.
Sort of a similar situation this year. How do you feel like going through what you went through last spring training might help you this time around in sort of a similar spot?
Right, yeah. I think just, you know, it is healthy competition with your teammates. And like I said last year, I think my plan was just to try and make it hard for them and not to want to have to use me, but just you have to be the best option. That's the only way you can look at it. It's just you got to be the best, the next man up, and just, you know, run with it from there. And so that's going to be the goal this spring training.
Without going into like too many details of like how many knuckleballs you're going to throw, yep, like the specifics of that, like what is the impetus behind kind of wanting to increase that usage?
What is the emphasis behind it?
Yeah, behind wanting to increase the usage of the knuckleball.
I just look at some of my best games last year with like the Phillies, Guardians, and you know, those are two off the top of my head, but I just really relied on those pitches, and I felt like it kept them off balance, and and I think the intent on it might have wavered a little bit back, and I feel like I just want to really emphasize throwing it hard and more consistently throughout the entire game. And
with the arm slot, is that purposely getting it higher this year, or just not letting it drop?
Yeah, it's more of not letting it drop, and it's not necessarily a lazy thing, but like it's hard to repeat if you change it every time. So just, you know, throwing every pitch. It sounds so obvious, but it's when you make 1,000 pitches a year, it's pretty easy to let some things waver sometimes.
That's Matt Waldron, who started some games for the Padres last year. And I think, as we've said throughout the show, Matt Waldron is going to be extremely important to the Padres this year. And I always think about when they talk about like changing the way they're throwing and different mechanics, I always think about golfers who change their swing. And I remember a story from Jack Nicklaus that when he was changing, or no, I'm sorry, Nick Faldo. When Nick Faldo was changing his swing at some point in his career, he was hitting 1,000 golf balls a day. 1,000 golf balls a day trying to dial in this swing. I'm sure it's no different for a pitcher because you throw the ball a certain way your entire life and then you change it up because you get to the next level and your mechanics need to be that much better. And Matt Waldron sounds like he's all in on that, which is something that I love about players, is when they're all in on doing things that aren't necessarily doing things that, you know, you're opening yourself up to criticism. And when people do that, you get constructive criticism and things move in the right direction. Matt Waldron has never been a guy, it seems like, that knows everything, that is a know-it-all about pitching. So I like to hear what he had to say about that. I like to hear that, you know, he went back in his season and kind of broke it down. And I know he had more time to do that after he was kind of done with the season. I would say hit a wall at some point. But Matt Waldron is someone who's constantly trying to improve, and that's all that we really care about. That's all I care about, is having him able to fill in that fourth spot in the rotation and just keep it there. His knuckleball is great. At times, we know his knuckleball is really good. If he can get those secondary pitches to work when his knuckleball isn't working, then Matt Waldron can be a pretty good pitcher. Because you never know when that knuckleball's coming, and you can't really hit the knuckleball if he's throwing it well that day. But what we saw last year with Matt Waldron is when that knuckleball wasn't working, it was a struggle for him because his secondary pitches weren't good enough to get guys out. And so when he couldn't go back to his primary pitch, the knuckleball, guys kind of knew what was coming. And he wasn't able to throw those secondary pitches as well as his knuckleball. So hopefully those little things are a lot better this year. And I know I'm very positive. Last night or yesterday, I wasn't so positive. But today I'm very positive because I'm hearing from these guys. I'm hearing about their off season. I'm hearing about what they think about this year. And Matt Waldron, I think we forgot a little bit about how important he was last year. And I've been trying to talk about it the last few weeks, but Matt Waldron through maybe end of May through June, maybe even July, was a huge part of the rotation. We were even talking about early Matt Waldron for Cy Young. That's how good he was last year. And I'm not going to be dramatic and say they wouldn't have made the playoffs if Matt Waldron didn't pitch as well as he did, but they certainly wouldn't have as many wins if Matt Waldron wasn't doing what he did last year. He can only build on last year. I feel like he's going to build on last year, and he could be a really, really important piece to this rotation going forward. And he's got a cool beard, so I think my beard is a little bit more scraggly than his. His looks more like, I don't know, with his little do-rag on that he's got, he looks more like Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean. Because his beard is nice and mine is not very nice right now. I need to shave it. Anyway, no one really cares about my beard. What they do care about is what we're doing next, and that will be Padres Pen Pals. Chris is rejoining me. We did it earlier today. I'm going to be fully transparent with you. And two of them are attacking me. So Padres Pen Pals, when we get back and find out why people are attacking me on 97.3 The Fan.
On Thursday's show, we've got you covered with everything Padres in spring training.
All right, listen up. It is that time, everyone. Today's biggest fan will be announced as soon as I get the board set. Congratulations to today's biggest fan, Maria Canedo in San Marcos. Maria Canedo in San Marcos, give us a call back within the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for a grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey Suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Maria Canedo, sorry if I'm saying that wrong, from San Marcos. Your 10 minutes starts now. Just hit the timer. All right, we got just a little bit to go here on Gwen and Chris. We have some Padres Pen Pals coming up. We have some traffic coming up. Don't forget, Scraby Show starts at 6 p.m. Also, Sammy Lev going to be doing Inside San Diego Baseball tonight from Peoria, Arizona, from 7 to 9 p.m. So he will have lots to share with you. I'm going to try and not take all of Sam's stuff before he does it because, you know, he was the actual one to do it. But we will be trying Beaver Nuggets. We will be trying some Beaver Nuggets on The Scraby Show tonight. And if you don't know that story, tune in later and I will quickly recap it because this Beaver Nuggets thing, some of these little things become huge things. And Beaver Nuggets is one of those things. So we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Oh, we have a phone call. Let me see. Oh, the caller ID matches. All right, you stay there. I'm going to come get you. In the meantime, traffic and Padres pen pals.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins...
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
The first Padres Pen Pals of the 2025 Major League Baseball season. I am excited. I have gotten really into baseball now that I've seen it starting up again. Started playing MLB The Show again. Started getting a lot of messages about the roster again, Chris. So we have a couple of those things, and two of them are actually meant for me that I was personally DM'd, but I think it's something we should talk about. So let's start with this one. I just clicked it. There we go. It's a little delayed today. First one. I called in yesterday, and Scraby did answer. I'll say he wasn't rude, but there is one thing I notice about this station. Y'all refuse to mention Trevor Bauer's name, like he is the plague. If we are looking for creative moves, I can't think bringing a former Cy Young Award winner should be off the table. He's cheap, has high upside, and he 100% would help this team. If he's a bad teammate, give him a locker in the hallway. All he needs to do is pitch. Why do you refuse to talk about this? Okay, I'm going to go first, Chris, since I remember this caller from yesterday. The caller was very nice, was just making points that, you know, I think a general fan would definitely think. I could see why people who don't know the full story of everything would want to bring in a guy like Trevor Bauer, but why do we refuse to talk about him? We don't refuse to talk about him. We just have talked about him so much that we know it's never going to happen. We do it. We mention it like four times a year. And again, I understand the sentiment, but bringing someone like that in will throw this clubhouse into disarray, I believe, just because there would be a lot of media with their eyes on this whole thing. So we don't refuse to talk about it, but I don't think he's a good fit for this team. Chris?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I think Trevor Bauer, on the name alone and on the accomplishments alone, would actually be a hell of a crazy move. And it really be something that I think would fit for the Padres.
Okay.
I really do. They need something like this. And this would, you want to bring a little attention to your organization, go ahead and bring Trevor Bauer to San Diego and see how much talk the Padres get.
I don't think they want that talk, though.
Having said what I just said, the reason that we don't talk about Trevor Bauer and the reason that we treat Trevor Bauer's name like the plague is because you do. Not you, Scraby.
Oh, I was like,
not the caller, but the entire public. Trevor Bauer's name is poison to the public at large, the baseball fan at large, people whose husbands are baseball fans, people, you know, wives of kids who love baseball. The name Trevor Bauer is 100% poison. The only name that's even close to it in the last 10 to 15 years is Deshaun Watson. Mm. And see how that worked out for the Cleveland Browns. So the reason we don't talk about it and we refer to him as poison is because that's what he is. He's absolute poison. And even though I do agree with the call on the surface, why not take a chance on somebody like Trevor Bauer, a Cy Young Award winner, when you need pitching? But this is why not. You just can't do it.
You know, I've never heard you say it like that before, and it does make sense, but I just, yeah. I think it's actually something bigger than just the Padres. I think it's something that goes in baseball. It's like baseball, in those circles, his name is poison. That's why he's not being picked up by anybody else. All right, good start. And I do remember you calling yesterday. Thank you for being nice. The second one. You're up first, Chris. I'm an avid listener to your station, and I usually agree with Scraby about most things, but hearing him trash the Jason Hayward...
Wait a minute. There's already something wrong with this note.
No, this is why I put it in there.
I agree with Scraby on most things.
Let me restart this. Yes. I'm an avid listener to your station, and I usually agree with Scraby about most things, but hearing him trash the Jason Hayward signing made me want to write in. You yourself, Scraby, have been saying for the last 3 months, the Padres need to make smart, creative moves. I would say signing a vet with lots of big league experience for $1 million is as creative as AJ can get without being able to spend any money. So, Chris, why are so many people down on Jason Hayward?
Well, because I think we all perceive that his best days are far behind him. And that's something that he's going to have to prove to the rest of us just is not true. But we're all in a wait-and-see attitude with Jason Hayward. And, you know, you look at the .208 average, you look at the paltry contributions over the last, not year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You look at the fact that, you know, when he was a Gold Glove winner, Obama was in office. This isn't a knock on the guy's career. He's had a really nice run.
Yeah.
Justin Turner. Would he not be the name Justin Turner? If you took out the Dodgers, I get it. But Justin Turner is your DH? You think of him as one of the best hitters in all baseball. But not anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Turner's available, by the way. That's why I bring him up.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Padres need a DH. There's no more professional hitter and clutch hitter than Justin Turner, right? He's done it for years and years. But I think at this stage, you wouldn't take a chance. That's what we're concerned with Jason Hayward. And as I said the other day, Scraby, when we were talking about it, I think Connor Joe is a really good bet because as a right-handed platoon player, he's going to play about 20-25% of the time. Jason Hayward, as a left-handed platoon player, he'd be in the lineup 70-75% of the time. I just don't think that's going to work, but I hope I'm wrong.
Looking at Justin Turner, they're projecting on Baseball Reference for him to have hit .257 this year with 14 home runs and 67 RBIs. I would take that in a heartbeat, even if he is 40. I mean,
yeah,
that's not a bad deal. But yeah, why are so many people down on this? I think Chris said it. Well, I think this is one of my least favorite parts of the job is I trash someone's name when it has nothing to do with the human being itself, but it's part of the job, and I was not excited about this move. I cannot see the Padres thinking that this platoon in left field is going to work all season long. Maybe Jason Hayward's better than Connor Joe, but both of those guys together clicking, That's too much left to chance for me. So that's why I'm down on this one. But I'll probably be wrong in the end. That's how it usually works.
Yeah, and don't worry, whoever wrote that letter, you'll find a whole bunch of more stuff that you disagree with Scraby about. Just keep listening.
They usually agree with me about most things, Chris. So I will take them at their word, and we will move on. Pitching. I think Randy Vasquez is a player the Padres can pencil in as a fifth starter in the rotation. He showed some promise last year. He's 24 years old, and he's someone I think the Padres should invest resources in. I'm up first. Why are so many people down on Randy Vasquez? I think there's a theme to this Padres pen pal. It's all about name brand awareness. And Randy Vasquez is not a big name brand kind of guy. He was a fifth starter for the Padres last year. In fact, I'm going to talk more about this on the Scraby Show starting at 6 p.m. because I think that he is someone that the Padres can count on going into this season. So I'll save most of my thoughts for the show after this show, Chris. But what do you think? Why are so many people down on Randy Vasquez?
Well, I'm going to bring up my good friend Jeff Sanders again.
Okay.
And if you're going to ask out there, who's Jeff Sanders? Jeff Sanders is a fine writer for the San Diego Union-Tribune. He covers the Padres.
Your best friend.
And he's not, but he wrote something. Well, I'm being honest. I know.
I was joking. Yes, Jeff Sanders is a great dude.
No, he is. But he wrote something the other day that just hit home with me. And he wrote that the Padres are, you know, taking chances on a lot of lottery tickets. And that's really what they're doing. They got a lot of, you know, a lot of irons in the fire, and they're hoping one of them catches fire. Randy Vasquez is in that category. Why? He's not shown he can really do it on a consistent basis over a long period of time at the major league level. After all, there are people wondering if Matt Waldron will be able to be a legit starter this year. And if you look back at last season, Waldron's stretch of success was far greater than anything Randy Vasquez did. Randy Vasquez had a few good starts. He showed some signs. I think he's another lottery ticket. Hopefully he will turn the corner and make great strides under Ruben Niebla and become a legit guy. I hope that's true. But at this point, he's nothing more than a really, 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 we hope so, kind of guy.
All right. Fair enough. Final one, Chris.
We got four today.
Yeah, we got four today, but this one's a short one. Chris, do you think we are underestimating what Yu Darvish is capable of this year? Uh-oh. What happened? Uh-oh. Is he putting back in his headphones?
You're first.
No, you're first. I just went first with Randy Vasquez.
Oh, sorry.
Do you think we're underestimating Darvish?
Were you underestimating what he can do? Probably.
It's a good answer.
But I don't know that we're going to be that far off.
Hmm.
So, you know, I think that we're not expecting like 20 wins out of Yu Darvish. You know what I mean?
That would be a lot for anyone.
Of course, we can't. Yeah, right. We can't really expect that for anybody anymore in this day and age of baseball. But, you know, before I answer this, let's at least mention how incredible he pitched in the playoffs.
Thank you. I was going to say that thing if you didn't.
Yeah, right. He pitched like two insane games in the playoffs. Just when you thought he was the weakest link in the Padres' rotation, he was their best pitcher in the playoffs. So, and you know, I'm looking at his numbers last year. He had a 3.31 ERA. That was down by a run and a half from the year before. 2023, he had a 4.56. Now, he made eight fewer starts last year because he was away for the team. We all remember that. But Darvish reinvented himself a little bit last year. He's going to be 38 years old. You know what? I'm changing my answer. I think we're underestimating what Yu Darvish is capable of this year at 38. I think he can pull off a great year.
I agree with you.
And we're not expecting it.
Yu Darvish against the Dodgers in an elimination game after missing most of the year went 6 2/3, gave up three hits, two solo home runs. ERA of 1.98. So those home runs were the ones that did them in, but the offense didn't do anything for him at all. Like, nothing.
No. Well, he pitched even better than that in the first game, or the second game, when he beat them.
That's so true. That's true. But
Darvish was great.
Yeah. I'm glad that you came around on this, and I'm glad that this person messaged me, because I do think we're underestimating him. Yu Darvish is like a consummate professional. Like, if you're going to talk about a professional pitcher, Yu Darvish is a professional pitcher. He's going to figure it out. Him and his 27,000 pitches that he can choose when he's out there throwing. So he could come up with a new pitch if he wants to. But, yes.
That and the fact that he takes amazing care of himself, and he puts a ton of time into taking care of himself, and that's why he's still so successful at this point in his career.
All right, that is it for Padres Pen Pals. Thank you to all the submissions today in Padres Pen Pals. It's okay to disagree with me, but just be nice, and I'll put you in Padres Pen Pals. Sometimes I don't get nice stuff. And I don't put you in Padres pen pals. Some quick news here to end the show before the Scraby Show, which starts at 6 p.m. And I should have actually been giving you a time to tune in for the Beaver Nugget trying segment. And so I say around 6:35 is when we're going to try the Beaver Nugget segment. I mean, they look pretty... I don't know. I was reading the ingredients. There's a lot that goes into these Beaver Nuggets. I don't know if I'm going to grow another arm when I eat these. I know Sammy Lev wants the Beaver Nuggets when I'm done with them. But anyway, here's some news for you to end Gwen and Chris with. Ohio State is finalizing a deal to make veteran NFL coach Matt Patricia the school's new defensive coordinator, sources told ESPN today. Now, this is kind of weird. You bring in Matt Patricia. Well, last year they had Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator, former NFL coach, so it worked out for them. They won the national championship, so why not bring in a guy like Matt Patricia? It will be a perfect spot, I think, for Matt Patricia to show that he could still coach, if he can still coach. But here's the weird part. The move to bring in Patricia comes with a corresponding internal promotion of secondary coach Tim Walton to the co-defensive coordinator role. I don't know that I've ever heard of that before. I've heard of, you know, coaches being... I don't know that I've heard that. I'm probably forgetting about something, but a co-defensive coordinator role seems a little weird. I'm not going to lie. It seems like there might be a couple disagreements between the two. Maybe Matt Patricia is actually going to be the actual defensive coordinator and Tim Walton is going to be like in train. He's got his training wheels on or something. But yeah, so Matt Patricia going to Ohio State to replace Jim Knowles, who left for Penn State and their defensive coordinator job. Apparently Penn State is the place to be if you want to be a coach, because guy just left he just left the same position, I think. From Ohio State, who won the national championship, all the way to Penn State to be the same guy? I don't know. The next story. Saquon Barkley is sick of us booing Taylor Swift. He said he doesn't get it. He said that he's not sure why everyone is hating her. And here's his quote. She was there supporting her significant other, and she's made the game bigger. I don't disagree with that. In football, we're all about how can we expand the game and make it more international. We're traveling to Brazil. We're traveling to Mexico. Apparently, we're traveling to Australia soon, which I guess was news to Saquon. We're trying to expand the game, and her being a part of it is only helping it. I don't get the dislike she's getting. I'm over my Taylor Swift stuff. That was last year. That was last year when they were showing her every time. Honestly, the people I was watching the Super Bowl with, I was like, have we seen Taylor Swift once? And we hadn't. The Taylor Swift stuff has backed off a little bit. And I don't understand why you're booing Taylor Swift at a football game either. But hey, Taylor Swift is polarizing. And she gets reaction. Which is probably good for the NFL. But the NFL doesn't really... I mean, yes, they do need Taylor Swift, I guess. But they don't really. They sell themselves. Hot takes to end Gwen and Chris. Got more hot takes for you in the next hour. Frank is in here with me. He is going to be with me tonight. He's also going to be with Sam Levitt from 7 to 9 p.m. for Inside San Diego Baseball. Beaver Nuggets are going to be tried at 6:35 tonight. So stick around. I'll be back with you in 5 minutes or so.